with you in the morning. Do you want to hear something about Jesus this morning?
Hallelujah.
It's my favorite question. I don't know why for this group, but that's my favorite question, because I know you do. I know you do. So let's pray to our mighty Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning that we can meet together and have fellowship around your word, and have fellowship because of the word, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for his mighty works in creation. We thank you for his mighty works in salvation. We thank you for his mighty works in our lives. Even now, we pray for your help, Lord, for mighty works in this community. Reminded, as our brother said, we've got work to do in this community. Lord, we need your help in that. We need your gospel to go out into this community, right, a place that is so dead in their sin that needs to be awakened and brought to second life. Lord, we pray for our brothers and friends and family that haven't bowed the knee to Christ, that they would hear this gospel, that this would be the message that go through our town and through our country, because we know it has the power of salvation to save, and that's our great hope in you to save people, Lord. And we just pray for our community this morning and pray that you would use us, if it be your will, to share the gospel with those in such dire need. And we thank you for this gospel, Lord. We thank you that you've given it to us so often in your word and made it such a priority. And we pray that you would open up your word this morning to us as we look at it, and ask for your help by the power of your Holy Spirit to do so. And we pray and ask these things in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus. Amen. Yeah. Well, Ed, praise God for anything good. Ed came to me a couple weeks ago and he said, "Hey, will you speak on the gospel?" I said, "That is exciting to me." A few weeks back, I was at the school. I went to one of the first chapels, and a fella got up, and guess what he talked about? He talked about the gospel. Mm-hmm. And that just, you know, when it talks about the scripture, about your warming your bosom, you're just warmed inside spiritually, and you're like, oh, that gets me going. It was great. What is the gospel? It is good news. That's what the word means. What is that good news? I got lots of good news.
Jesus saves.
Jesus saves. I like that. Just recap it quickly, brother. That's good. In 1 Corinthians 15, it uses four what I like to think of as four key elements when I'm working with young people. It talks about Jesus' death. It talks about Jesus' perfect life, sinless life. It talks about Jesus' resurrection. It talks about forgiveness of sins. And something 1 Corinthians 15 does that I like, more than once it says, according to the scriptures.
1 Corinthians.
That's where it is. 1 Corinthians. That's correct.
It is actually.
AI is getting so good. They listen. It's so helpful. But this gospel message, I hope you know it well. I hope you're ready to share it. I hope you have your own way to share the gospel. So this is related, but just by a show of hands, I want to see, I'm just curious. How many in this room have taken an Uber or a Lyft? I just want to see. Okay, about half of you. That's pretty good, guys. Until about a couple weeks ago, I had never taken one of those. Thought it was creepy. I don't know why I'd be all happy in the taxi cab, but this other thing, it was creepy to me. But my boss at work, he said, take the truck down there, get it worked on, and just take an Uber back. I said, what? He said, a Lyft. I'm like, what kind of Lyft? Anyway, so we worked through my technicalities here, and I took an Uber. And I like to share the gospel, but of late, I haven't been sharing the gospel much. For whatever reason. I haven't been praying that the Lord would give me opportunity, bring somebody in my path. But when I get in an Uber, you know what's great about an Uber?
You can't get away.
They want a tip. And they're going to listen to anything I have to say. The perfect audience. Attentive, hanging on every word. If you get an Uber, guys, how are you going to share the gospel with an Uber driver? So my first Uber driver, he was from Africa. He spoke three languages. That's a smart guy. I said, and here's how I like to share the gospel. In Colorado, it's so simple. I grew up in the Bible Belt. It's not as easy back there. Here, 90% of the people haven't heard the gospel. So I just say, do you know what the gospel is? And they say, no. What is it? I'm like, I'm glad you asked. Let me tell you about what the Lord Jesus Christ did. And I hope I say it interestingly enough to you about his death, burial, and resurrection, according to the scriptures, that you go back to those scriptures and read about it. So my second Uber driver, he was from Africa. He spoke 7 languages. I was amazed. I asked him to tell me what the 7 were. I didn't understand 4 of them. Just the name of them. I asked him what the gospel is. He didn't know either. So I got to tell him. I don't remember the 3rd one. I don't think I got a word in edgewise with this young lady, so I don't think I got there. But just this last week, just this week, I made it almost all the way back to my destination, and I finally said, well, do you know what the gospel is? And he told me.
All right.
The gospel of the Lord Jesus. And at the end, I gave him a pound, and I said, I'll see you in heaven, brother. Amen. And I got out of the car. But, yes, sir, but he gave me one too. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and he will save. So I was excited to talk about the gospel this morning. I did prepare a few things. We wanted to talk about the reasons Christians need to hear the gospel. We know why unbelievers need to hear it, right? I just thought of another reason real quick, and these are, I just wrote down 3 this morning I want to talk about. But another reason is you need to know the gospel to be able to share the gospel. You know the gospel well enough to share it? In your own way, however you decide to do that, Uber or not Uber, are you prepared to share the gospel? Can you do it right now? If I come and say, hey, brother, share the gospel with me. I'm not going to put him on the spot. But are you ready? Are you that ready? Are you that prepared? See, he's watching me now. You need to be ready. Here's the first reason we need to hear the gospel as believers. And I hope you're hearing that in your local churches, in podcasts, and other means, and when you're reading the scriptures. But the reason you need to hear the gospel too, as Christians, we're sinners. Still, right?
Amen.
Sorry to depress you already this morning, but we're sinners. We need to hear the gospel because we slowly throughout the week revert back to something. You know what it is? Work salvation. We start going, man, I failed again. Man, I failed again. And if we're not constantly repenting of our sin and trusting in Christ, we slip into that, I failed, I don't deserve to be saved. We need that gospel message to come back in. Jesus didn't ever fail. He died on the cross for my sins. And see how it washes away that work salvation that we slip into? Because we're works-based. We're just wired that way. Everybody is. That's why when you start talking about somebody's sin with them, they start getting uncomfortable. Wiggle on you. They start driving crooked in the Uber. So I don't spend a lot of time on sin in the Uber. I'm scared of crashes. But number one reason you need to hear the gospel too is because you're a sinner. We're sinners, but we're redeemed sinners. We're not what we should be, but we're not what we used to be.
Amen.
Number two, the Lord commanded it in his worship. The Lord commanded that you hear and see the gospel in his worship. And you say, how? Well, he commanded baptisms. I don't know what traditions you guys fall into, don't care. But in baptisms, are commanded in the scriptures. And it's a beautiful picture of the death. If the pastor puts you under the water and doesn't let you up, you die. It's a picture of death, burial, and resurrection to life. It's a picture of Jesus. It's a picture of what Christ did. It's not about you. It's not about how soft and wet you are in the water. That's why I don't like altar calls. You come up all dry. I want somebody that wants to make a confession of Christ to be wet, because you're not as impressive wet as you are dry. Number two, another way God commanded us to worship him, in the Lord's Supper, his body broken. You take that cracker, you see the perfect sinlessness of God. Hope you get bread that doesn't have any, what's that stuff in it that goes everywhere?
Mold.
Worse than mold. Yeast. There it was. Yeast. Hope you don't have any yeast in it, because that yeast spreads like sin spreads. All the way from Adam, sin spreaded to you and me. Spreaded? Anyway, it did. But that cracking without yeast reminds you of the sinlessness of Christ and his body broken for you. That cup reminds you of his blood shed for you. It takes you to the gospel. God commanded those things as a way of worshiping him that we need. How many of you come out of a Lord's Supper service going, oh, it refreshes your soul because it's pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ? Third reason you need to hear the gospel as Christians, to make you thankful. Christians, by definition, should be thankful.
Amen.
We should be thankful. Well, that's it. Thank you, Ed. Ed's the only one that clapped to get me off here. You thought you were going to get out here that easy without me going to the scriptures? No, sir. I'm going to tell you where I got to these. So those were easy. We're done with that. But as I was studying the gospel, I found some other things I want to show you. You got time?
Yeah.
Good. I planned on that. Turn to Galatians chapter 3. Fascinating passage. Remember, the gospel was according to the
Scriptures.
Let me say that one more time. According to the
Scriptures.
I've almost got you convinced. It's according to the
Scriptures.
I'm going to have the AI look up 1 Corinthians for us if we don't hit this. But go to Galatians 3. Galatians 3, 8. Galatians 3, chapter 3, verse 8. Here, the gospel is mentioned. But it's a weird way. I've always thought this was weird and study it, and I still think it's weird, and I go back to it and I'm like, it's fascinating. But it's according to the scriptures. Look what it says. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, in you shall all the nations be blessed. Let me say that again. In the scriptures, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, God preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, in you shall all the nations be blessed. Wait a minute, Abraham. Genesis, Exodus, Genesis. That's back a ways. You can get the gospel in Genesis.
Amen.
You can get the gospel in Genesis. Everybody know the gospel's in Genesis? Then I had to go back and look. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 12. And in quotes, Galatians 3:8, I'll point you to this. It says, in you shall all the nations be blessed. That's in quotes. So we're going to look for that phrase in Genesis and pick that apart a little bit, because we need to hear the gospel. How many of you have a little Jewishness in your family tree line? Maybe a couple. Maybe some of us don't even know because we've been so twisted in the tree. That's fine. But most of us are Gentiles here. So in Galatians 3:8, it mentioned he justified the Gentiles by faith. That's us. We should be happy with Galatians 3:8. That's pretty good stuff right there. That should make us thankful. We got in. We got engrafted in. But anyway, Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, if you're there with me. Now the Lord said to Abraham, hold on just a minute. When I want the Lord to speak to me, I go to the scriptures. That's how he does it. I have never heard a voice from above. I have never had an appearance below. Abraham's in some special territory here. You know why Abraham and the patriarchs are special? Because of stuff like this. The Lord said to Abram.
Amen.
Man, Abraham was a liar. Oh man, he was a sinner like me. Abraham didn't protect his wife. He says, you just tell him you're my sister. I'm out of here. I don't want my head coming off in Egypt for this Pharaoh guy, because he can see how pretty you are and take off with you. And I want out. I don't want my head off for this. He'd lie and wouldn't protect his wife. Well, none of you are like that. Anyway, now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house. Probably all the things he loved, right? All the things he knew and all the things he was comfortable with. So sometimes you have to get uncomfortable. How many of you in an Uber would be comfortable sharing the gospel? How many, when you have the opportunity with other people, get uncomfortable? Feel that? I do. I feel that veil of uncomfortability. I'm like, I need to share the gospel with this person. Eh. I don't know. That's a deep theological term right there. Eh. Suddenly, we're scared. We got this power rod in our hand of the gospel. And we, But you know what I mean. God said, leave all this stuff you know, everything you're comfortable with, and go to the land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation. And I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. This is Yahweh talking to Abram. Man, he's going to bless everything I do, my name, all my people. And anybody gets in my way, he's going to curse. I like this guy on my side. And in you, and here comes the gospel in Genesis 12. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. That and in you, he's thinking family tree again. He's saying in your seed, in your posterity, in your children, in your grandchildren, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Jesus is in the line of Abraham, or Abraham is in the line of Jesus, better said, I think. Jesus, if Abraham died before he had Isaac, Jesus doesn't come through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. If it wasn't this mighty promise that he gives to Abram, that you'll have a son, I'll be back here next year. I don't care if your life's laughing. I'll be back. And you'll call that boy laughter. You'll call him Isaac, and he will be born. And my seed will come, and all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Later on here in chapter 12, I want you to look down and find the verse for me. It uses a word that's pretty interesting. Appearance. I didn't write it down here. I could look, but you guys look. Where does it show up? Is it like verse 12 or verse 7? Read that for me, brother. Out loud.
And the Lord appeared unto Abraham and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And they buildeth he an altar unto the Lord who appeareth unto him.
Appeared and appeareth. It shows up twice in that verse. I asked you this morning if you wanted to see Jesus. A man that just died this last year, he had a phrase that I liked a lot. He said, an appearance is something you see. Deep theological fact here. An appearance is something you see. So the Lord had talked to Abraham, and now Abraham sees the Lord. Well, let's just go through your Trinitarian doctrine real quick here. Do you think he saw the Holy Spirit? I don't see the Holy Spirit showing up in the scriptures quite like that. Now, he's like the wind. You can tell he was there, but you don't see him. Is that God the Father? I don't think so. I think this is God the Son. And remember, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are all tied together. They're the three in one. But the Lord appeared to Abram. I'm fascinated by who gave the message of the gospel. Who gave the gospel? Well, the first gospel, I think, is in Genesis 3:15. I'll put enmity between you and the woman, between her seed and your seed. And your heel's going to get hit, or you're going to crush the head of the serpent. Beautiful message of the gospel there. But here, Jesus is giving the gospel again. I think it was the Lord walking in the garden that laid down the curses in Genesis 3. I think that's the Lord Jesus too. But here, he appeared. Abraham saw him. And he said, in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. I'm coming. I'm going to give you the promise of the message. I'm going to show up. And I'm going to take care of sin and death and the devil in one act on the cross. You won't need the blood of sheep and goats anymore. I'm going to take care of it. What a fun promise. Let's look at some more appearances real quick. Let's see Jesus. Look at Genesis 17. And it's trying to have me talk about the gospel, and I get caught up because I want to see the Lord Jesus. I hope you do too. In chapter 17, verse 1, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord, so Yahweh here, not Elohim, the Lord, Yahweh appeared to Abram and said to him, I am God Almighty. I am El Shaddai. We need to hum a song. We can get there. But I am El Shaddai. Walk before me and be blameless. Yahweh appeared to Abram. Abraham's important because of who appeared to him, not because of anything he did. You want to see another one? Genesis 18:1. It's nice. They put them in the first in the chapter so we can find them quick. Chapter 18:1, and the Lord appeared to him by the oaks of Mamre, and he sat at the door of his tent in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing in front of him. We read later that two of those were angels that went and wiped out Sodom and Gomorrah. But I'm concerned with the third man. It's kind of like Daniel. I want to know about the fourth man in the fire. I want to know about that fourth man. Here, I want to know about the third man. The Lord appeared to him by the oaks of Mamre. But I want to see the gospel too. And I want to see who Jesus is telling about the gospel. He's telling Abraham in chapter 18, verse 18. Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. We're in the nation of the United States. Our nation is blessed because of him. Our families, many of us have Christians in our families. Our families are blessed because of him. Does it make you thankful this morning? Does it make you ready to share that gospel message with somebody, even if they're a scary Uber driver? Are you ready? Do you have the words on your lips ready to go? Be encouraged this week. Let's do some work in our community. There's lots of physical things we can do, gentlemen, but you guys are armed with something that's more powerful. In Romans 1:16, when it says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, it is the power of God. A gentleman at work reminded me that word for power is in Greek is related to the word dynamite. You have the dynamite. You've got the power. Release that thing. Let it go. Let that dog run. I don't know where that came from. Anyway, again, on Mount Moriah, later on in Genesis 22, you know what Mount Moriah is? That's where Abraham had to kill his son. Another beautiful, in the scriptures, gospel image of a son having to die on top of a mountain. You know what Mount Moriah eventually became in our Bibles? That's where the cross was in Jerusalem, boys. That's the city of Jerusalem. It's the same spot. When I found out that's the same spot Abraham had to kill his son, where Jesus had to die, I'm like, I think he's telling me something. I think I'm supposed to realize this is all about the Lord Jesus Christ. Mount Moriah is fascinating. But anyway, in chapter 22, verse 18, it says, and in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you've obeyed my voice. You were willing to kill my son because it pointed to me to being the one, the ram in the thicket that's provided to die on the cross. Galatians 3:9, going back there, those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham. If you have that same faith as Abraham this morning, you're blessed right alongside him. When you die, you want to be like the poor man sit beside Abraham. I got some things to ask the man. I can't wait to meet Abraham, but it wouldn't be meaningful if Christ wasn't there. I want to be there in the presence of Christ, and Abraham and I can be watching Christ. Those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham. That's you guys this morning. You are blessed. In the Hispanic culture, at my old workplace, if I saw a brother in Christ, he'd be like, and they found out I was a Christian, they were like, bendecido. I'd be like, bendecido. That means blessed. Are you blessed? That was Christian lingo for saying, I'm a Christian. You a Christian? I'm a Christian. Yeah, I'm a Christian too. Blessed. I am bendecido this morning. I hope you're blessed this morning. Galatians 3:18, a little further down. Now the promises were made to Abraham and to his offspring. Hello, offspring. It does not say into offsprings, referring to many, but referring to one. See, we kind of say offsprings there thinking it's us. It's not. Read the rest of it. I got you, didn't I? Anyway, the verse corrects us because I forget too. Now the promises were made to Abraham and to his offspring. It does not say into offsprings, plural, referring to many, but referring to one. And to your offspring, who is Christ. Look for Christ in the scriptures, not yourself. And that allows you to know who to point to, who to have the dynamite for. Galatians 3:29, I'll close with this. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring. So it is about you too. I'm sorry. I didn't mean. You are Abraham's offspring. Heirs according to the promise. What promise? That promise that Jesus made to Abraham so long ago. In you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Do you believe that promise this morning? Do you believe it enough to share the gospel with somebody this morning? Be ready. Be praying that God will bring somebody into your pathway that needs to hear that message. Shouldn't be hard. You can walk down the sidewalk in Boulder and probably 9 out of 10 don't know. You just say, hey, what's the gospel? Anybody know? Can I get a hand? Anyway. Now, I've ruined my brother's expense account. He's going to take Ubers everywhere now. I want to leave you with this song. And I asked my brother if he'd put it on the board for you. Because I want you to remember point three of why you need the gospel. If you're Christian, I want you to be thankful this morning. And I'll just remind you of this song. I like this song. It says, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation so rich and free. You guys are pretty good. One more time. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation so rich and free. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning. May we all have thankful hearts today and go out with joy and serve you this week, both physically and spiritually. We just thank you for the work of our mighty Lord Jesus Christ. And we look forward to meeting you someday and seeing your appearance, Lord, either upon your return or upon death. We look forward to such a great reunion with our Savior. I'd ask that you would bless these men this morning, that they would be a blessing to our community, that you would help us be thankful. And I'd ask that in Christ's name.
Amen. Amen.